My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings in our Lord, with the same greeting that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul from our Romans reading today, that grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Christmas season always, and always has been, a time that builds a little anticipation. I always look forward to the fourth Sunday in Advent today because we get a chance to sing my favorite Advent hymn, the one we just sang. I love O Come, Emmanuel. I always have. And I remember that you'll find other people who really love it too. And I've had people who, as soon as Advent starts, ask, when are we going to sing O Come, Emmanuel? You have to wait. That's the fourth Sunday in Advent. That's when it's scheduled. But it almost builds some anticipation and eagerness to be able to get to those moments, particularly in Advent and Christmas, as we build with anticipation the things that we want to enjoy. That phrase, like a kid on Christmas, that's what it talks about. The building of anticipation. You can't sleep the night before because you're so excited about what the next day brings. I would really like to think that we still have that kind of overwhelming joy and anticipation in the birth of Jesus. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is God's own Son, come to set everything right. Come to make it better. This is God's choice in His great love for you that He will go through such tremendous lengths to make sure that we are forgiven. We get to celebrate that again in a week. But we've been preparing for it all along. That's the anticipation that builds. I want us to think about that anticipation today and realize that for people like Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, that anticipation had been building for thousands of years because they didn't know who the Messiah was, not before these events. They'd have been eagerly awaiting generation after generation for God to fulfill the promises He kept making. Because it wasn't just one promise. God had reaffirmed that promise generation after generation. Talk about building anticipation. And now all of a sudden, when the time had fully come, God sends His Son, born of a woman, to be our Redeemer. Emmanuel has come. Can you imagine being Joseph on that day, though? We all know how it works. And all of a sudden, this woman who you are pledged to be married, and according to Jewish custom, they were already married, but what had happened is the set time period which would usually go about, and then the bride would be brought from the father's household and brought to the groom's household, and everything would be finalized, hadn't come. But as far as the Jews were concerned, the two of them were married. We don't know the length of time, the period of time, because it can vary. But now, here it is. And all of a sudden, Joseph finds out that this woman he's pledged to be married to, and as far as the world is concerned, is married to, has conceived a child. That's not his. You know what that means. I know what that means. Joseph knew what that meant. We don't know a lot about Joseph. But the only thing we get to hear about is this event. Maybe a couple of the other times his name is mentioned when Jesus is the boy going to the temple in Jerusalem. But as soon as Jesus starts his public ministry, Joseph's gone. As far as we can tell, he's probably been called home already. We don't know much about him. We don't even know the circumstances around it. And we all can realize, and I think rightly so, how important Mary is because we see her all the time. She's there from the beginning. She's that faithful disciple of Jesus. She's present at His first miracle. She's present at His death and resurrection. We all know about Mary and how she was just the right person for God to choose as Jesus' mother. What I think we don't always realize is the little bit we hear about Joseph leads us to believe that he's exactly the stepfather that Jesus needed. Let's read from Matthew again and see exactly what is happening and to realize how it is that this matters for us, because we're not looking at this just because, oh, Joseph's a great guy. That's not my purpose. But Joseph proclaimed the importance of what is happening by his actions. Matthew said this again. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. His mother Mary was pledged to in marriage to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, so he decided to divorce her privately. But as he was considering these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." As I said in our children's devotion, how nice it would be if an angel would come down and tell us the right decision when things are hard. But it takes a certain amount of trust and faith in Joseph to say, okay, like we said, you know the circumstances. What a miraculous thing. In fact, this account, this reading from Matthew, is filled with miracles. We have the angel appearing in a dream to Joseph. We have the very fact that the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. We have the fact that it is God with us, Emmanuel. All of those amazing, miraculous things. And all of it that Joseph himself would be able to witness and to see. Those miracles have a purpose, as they always do. In fact, every miracle Jesus ever performed had the same purpose, to point to the fact that Jesus is not just some ordinary guy. I mean, look at the circumstances around his birth. He's not born in the traditional way. This is someone conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. We need to realize that Jesus is different. He's different from you and me. He's different from anyone else who's ever lived. And he has to be, because if he's not, if his birth is not miraculous, then he cannot be that perfect Lamb of God that we need. But doesn't all that sound skeptical? Without an angel coming down and telling Joseph that this is how it's going to be, I don't understand how Joseph could say, yeah, there's something miraculous here. Because the first inclination, the first thought that each and every one of us has is going to be to go about things in a human way, the way that we know they work. In fact, I'll tell you, I think it even takes a good amount of faith and trust in God after an angel appears in a dream to still say, yeah, I'll take Mary home as my wife because that's what the Lord told me. How many of us wouldn't wake up the next morning and go, that was a weird dream, and think nothing more of it? And yet Joseph realizes there is something special happening here. There is. And that's what we all need to realize. Emmanuel has come, but what does that mean? Matthew continues with the account. It says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What's the purpose of all of this? What's the purpose of God's own Son being conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? What is the purpose of this for us? Why is it that Joseph has to take Mary home as his wife and raise that child so that he can be the man he needs to be? The whole purpose of all of this is wrapped up in what Paul says to the Romans. Because he says the same thing said here. This one will save his people from their sin. It's really easy as we think about Christmas and the birth of Jesus and we get wrapped up in the joy and the peace that we don't realize the real reason why he's here. I think it's easier for us to see that on a day like Good Friday when we see him die. Because on Good Friday, the whole idea of sin being what causes Jesus to suffer is right there in your face. We don't get that same reaction at Christmas because Christmas is, oh, the cute little baby in the manger. Why is that baby in the manger? Why did he have to be Emmanuel, God with us? Why does he need to take on human flesh and blood? He does because we messed up. He does because we couldn't be the people God had created us to be. Some days are harder than others. This is me going off script for a bit. I should warn you about that. It's been a difficult weekend. Nothing's clicking. I'm irritable. I'm not feeling the joy of Christmas. I don't want to talk to people. Now here I am. You ever been there? Do you understand what I mean? It's a glowing reflection of the fact I need Jesus to be that baby in the manger because I have no hope on my own. I have no peace. I'm lost. The reason why he has to come and be that baby boy who will take away the sin of all people is because we sinned. We have to come to grips with that. And without that, if all we do is think about at Christmas, the fact that it's, oh, joy and peace and mercy and love, if that's all it is, if there's no sin in the world, then we have no real reason for Jesus. I don't need him. But then I look at my sin. I look at all of the things that I have done wrong, all the hurtful words I have said in a day, all the times where the joy has been gone and the effort has been lackluster. And it brings me back to realize I certainly do need Emmanuel. I need him to be here. I need him to do exactly what he was born into this world to do. And that's where the true joy comes, because our God says, I will send my son, born of the woman, born under law, to do the things that you could not do. Because I love you. And I always have. Even when we're at our worst, Jesus is at his best. That's what Emmanuel, God with us, signifies. That is what he has come to do, to make up for all of the wrong choices we've made and to give us the promise that even in the midst of sin, we're forgiven. This is what he had promised. He'd promised it for years, for generations. It's what Joseph and Mary had been looking forward to, and it's what continues in our text and reading. It says, all this happened to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he was not intimate with her until she gave birth to her firstborn son, and he named him Jesus. That promise had been given. It had been given in the garden that God would send the offspring of the woman to crush the serpent's head. It was given again and again and again. Abraham got it. Jacob got it. Over and over the Lord promised. Our reading from Isaiah had it again. Remember, Emmanuel, God with us. Over and over again, God had to remind his people, I have not forgotten. I have not left you alone. I will send the one who will take all sin away. These promises had built anticipation. And here in this moment, it comes to its climax. For us too. We have to realize, what does this even mean for me? Joseph there with eager anticipation waiting for the Messiah to come and to find out that the child he gets a hand in raising will be his Savior from sin. For us to be able to say, this baby who comes in the manger is the one that I need to wash away my sin and to make up for all of my poor decisions and choices. The one who will take it all away. How desperately I need him. And God says, I will answer. I've never forgotten. I never will. Here is my own son to live among you, to be one of you, to face the same problems, the same challenges, the same temptations, but in the perfect way we can't. And then to give up his life, that sacrifice will wash away all sin. This is Emmanuel, and he has come. I hope that today starts to build that anticipation for next week, because we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior again. And everything that means, everything that's wrapped up in that, peace on earth, not peace among us, because again, we make poor decisions. Peace between us and God, because sin is gone. Salvation is ours. This is Emmanuel. And we sing that hymn. We look forward to it as we ask the Lord to come. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Well, you know what his answer is? Emmanuel has come, our Savior, which means you're forgiven. Amen.